And now Springbok Radio invites you to put your feet up and spend the next half hour with the Bowler, Briefcase and Brolly Brigade.
The Beds of the Ministry.
In a changing world, the Ministry's General Assistance Department offers a bastion of old virtues. In fact, it offers two old bastions, Lennox Brown and Lamb. They bring traditional care and precision to modern projects, such as the development of a new aircraft.
Do you think the wingspan's right, number one?
It should give optimum lift on takeoff, plus maximum speed in operation.
Yeah.
But I wonder about the airflow, though.
Well, the test flight should show us if that's right.
Yes. All right, then open the window.
Morning, all. You're not making paper darts again.
No. This may look like a paper dart, Mildred, but in actual fact it's
a cardboard dart.
A cardboard dart, yes. These new file covers have splendid aerodynamic qualities, don't they?
Yes. Order some more from stationery, would you, Mildred? We seem to get through them in no time.
Righty-o, sir.
And get some more of those top secret stickers. They give extra strength to the nose.
You get into trouble chucking them things out of the window, like when the traffic warden came up.
Traffic warden?
Oh, weren't you here, sir? Ooh, he gave Mr. Lamb a right telling off. It seems he was patrolling Whitehall, and one of your darts stuck in his thingy. Yes, in his ear hole.
Oh. Poor fellow. Obviously, he had no sense of humour.
Funny chap. Some of the words he used were quite new to me.
Well, he had a point, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Sticking in his ear.
Pioneers have always faced criticism, Mildred. We shall carry on with our research.
We've been helping the Aerospace Ministry lately, actually, and we've been able to offer some useful advice.
You mean they're going to build a giant paper dart for 100 passengers and throw it across the Atlantic?
There's many a true word spoken in jest, Mildred. British industry needs any boost it can get. We're facing a recession.
My dad says that's because the workers are always striking for shorter hours.
Well, we've agreed to meet their demands. We're going to reduce each hour to 55 minutes.
How's that? We have to see that the recession doesn't develop into a depression.
Or even a slump.
What's the difference between a recession, a depression, and a slump, then?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Mildred. A recession is when you have to tighten your belt, you see.
Whereas a depression means you've no belt to tighten.
And with a slump, you don't need a belt because you haven't any trousers.
And that means the end is in sight.
Oh, I think. How do you find out about all that stuff, then?
Well, we've been liaising with, what's-his-name next door, old Creepy Crawley. He's very on the ball, you know.
Yes, what he doesn't know about economics would fill an awfully large book.
Mr. What's his name?
How do you do, Mr. Crawley?
Hello, Mr. Crawley.
I was wondering if you'd seen my what's his name.
Oh, I hope not.
What's his name, Mr. Crawley?
My glasses, of course.
They're on top of your head.
Oh, bless my soul. No wonder I couldn't see them right up there. Didn't have my, glasses.
We were just telling Mildred about our work for the aerospace industry.
Oh, those. What's his name?
What exactly did you have to do, Mr. Lamb?
Oh, lots of things. One job was finding ways to reduce aircraft noise. And also to save fuel.
So we suggested a plane that used no fuel at all. But they turned it down.
Did they say why?
Yes. They couldn't get a rubber band big enough.
Still, we came up with a marvellous plan to cut down aircraft noise.
Well, what was that, sir?
Stop the passengers talking to each other.
But our main achievement was selling a new British jet engine to the United States.
Ooh.
Yes. Ooh. To power a spacecraft they're launching in Houston in Texas.
Oh, well, I've never.
Not many people have done.
No, I mean they bought it after all the trouble with that last rocket we sold them.
Well, there were teething troubles with that one.
I see, yes. Wasn't it nicknamed the, what's his name?
Aye, that's right. The civil servant.
Yes, I believe it was, yes.
And it was called that because it wouldn't work. They couldn't fire it, and it cost the taxpayer a fortune.
Well, this engine's different, Mildred. It's been thoroughly tested, and everyone says it's a winner.
And you have arranged dispatch to Houston, of course, have you, number two?
Oh, I certainly have. I gave instructions yesterday.
Good. Well, that's the end of our aerospace jobs. I think I'll just toddle off along to my club for an early lunch and a nap. Would you care to join me, Mr. Crawley?
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Lennox. I'll just pop along to the, what's his name? offices, and get my hat.
Then perhaps I could give you a spot of lunch, Mildred.
Oh, that's very generous, Mr. Lamb. Thank you.
Not at all. I've got enough fish paste sandwiches for two. Yes, we can sit on the embankment and watch the coal barges go by.
Well, is it all right to leave the office empty? I mean, what if the permanent undersecretary comes in?
No, I shouldn't worry, Mulred. Oh, Sir Gregory hasn't been near us for days.
Oh.
Ah. Oh, yes. Sir Gregory.
Yes, not sneaking out for an early lunch, I hope.
Not now, Sir Gregory. No.
Good. I gather you wrapped up your aerospace work, so I found you another little job.
Oh, thank you, Sir Gregory.
The devil finds work for idle hands, eh?
Yes, Sir Gregory, you always seem to. always seem to have our interests at heart.
Yes, well, you know all about the British Rail birthday celebrations, of course.
Do we?
Well, you should do. It's been all over the papers.
Oh, well then, yes, of course, we know all about it, Sir Gregory.
Good. Now, there's a very old steam train standing at Little Muckledon Halt.
Is there really, Sir Gregory?
I just said there was, you fool, didn't I? I want that locomotive to be delivered to Euston immediately.
It will be done, Sir Gregory.
Actually, it's going to pull a special train from Euston to Darlington, where steam trains started.
Oh, excuse me, Sir Gregory. There's my phone. Sorry I can't stay to chat.
When exactly does this Euston-Darlington run take place, Sir Gregory?
Tuesday afternoon. It's a very big affair. All the top people will be there. The Prime Minister, the Minister of Transport. I'll be there, of course.
Of course, of course, yes.
I shall be making my usual contribution to these auspicious occasions.
Not while the train's standing at the station, I hope.
What was that, Lamb?
I said it should be a grand scene at the station.
Oh, yes, indeed. It'll be a very big day for British Rail. Very big indeed.
But won't the journey take rather a long time, Sir Gregory, with just a steam locomotive, I mean?
Well, the longer the better. There's plenty of food and drink aboard. Now, get that steam engine transported to them at once. Got it?
Got it, Sir Gregory.
You better, or else you will get it.
I see from my diary that the American aerospace people are due to ring us today to confirm they've received that jet thing we sent them.
Oh, yes. I'll feel easier in my mind when we've heard from them.
Oh, you know, some of them phone operators aren't half that. One of them rang just now and said, it's a long distance from America.
A long distance from America?
Aye. I just said, I know that, and I hung up.
You hung up? Good grief, that was the American Aerospace Agency. We're waiting for their call.
Ah, there we are. That'll probably be them trying again.
Go back to your office, Mildred, and put that call through to me, quickly.
All right. Phones. Get on my nerves. They just get on.
Isn't nature wonderful? To think we can talk direct to someone in the United States.
You're through now, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Oh, thank you, Mildred. Hello, Lennox Brown speaking. Can you hear me? Do you speak English?
This is Dwight J. White here in Houston, Texas. I'm contacting you telephonically to ascertain the as-of-now whereabouts of the jet engine we ordered 1 week ago inst.
Jet engine, Mr. J. White? You mean it hasn't arrived?
Negative. No, not. I have instigated thorough inquiries, and we are now cognizant of the fact that it's still at the factory.
The jet engine's still at the factory?
Affirmative. Yeah. I am informatized that dispatch was inoperative due to your failure to activate a clearance note.
A clearance note? Well, my assistant may have slipped up there.
I'd be obligated if you would precipitate a clearance note and achieve an in-transit situation for the pre-mentioned engine forthwith. I have no wish to exercise a dynamic posture by establishing an antagonistic attitude towards you.
By Jove, you know this fellow doesn't speak English. Oh, and he seems to have rung off. Number two, that jet engine is still at the factory.
What? Come, possibly.
That won't help. Get Miller to issue a clearance note and dispatch the thing at once.
Yes, all right. I'll go and tell her straight away. And while she's at it, she can get that old steam locomotive sent to Houston Station.
Gregory, you do look smart in that morning suit.
Oh, thank you, Miss Murphy. One does try to dress for the occasion, you know.
Oh, I think it's really inelegant, Sir Gregory. In fact, I've never seen anything quite like it.
Oh, you do look extremely sartorial, Sir Gregory.
Oh, good. And you don't see anything ridiculous in my top hat?
Only your head.
What was that?
I said, very... Go ahead, Sir Gregory.
This Darlington trip is a great event, Chirot, great event. So is the whole celebration, of course.
Yes, we thought we might go down there ourselves this afternoon, Sir Gregory.
By all means, Lennox Brown, by all means. I'll tell you what, in the circumstances, you can leave the office 10 minutes early.
You're very generous, Sir Gregory.
Well, I'm in a good mood today. I shall enjoy this trip, you know. A return to the gracious days of steam travel, a leisurely ride through the English countryside with plenty of good food and wine. Yes, it should be rather pleasant.
You know, I'm rather looking forward to this event too, you know. I always was something of a railway buff, you know. In fact, I've been collecting platform tickets for years.
Have you really?
Yes, they're all in albums, you know.
But haven't platform tickets gone up in price?
Oh, yes, but you still get your money's worth. There's now a longer wait between trains, you see. General Assistance Department, Lennox Brown speaking.
This is Snatherswaite here. I'm but Snatherswaite from Houston Station.
Oh, yes, sir. Is it raining down there?
Why do you ask?
Oh, nothing. I just thought I heard something splashing down there, that's all.
Splashing? Ah, there's no splashing this side. Hang on a minute. Let me wipe the phone. There, that's better. But where
did
you get this splashing idea from?
Hmm? No, nowhere. It's all right.
Oh, good. It's a silly question in the first place.
And what can we do for you, Mr. Satterthwaite?
Well, I'm the organizer of these British Rail celebrations.
Oh, I see. Is everything going smoothly, is it?
Well, I am a bit concerned about this afternoon's trip to Darlington. I'm afraid I have qualms.
You can get tablets for that, you know. Travel sickness pills. You'll be all right, Mrs. Senator.
No,
don't worry.
No, it's this engine you sent us to pull the train. Are you sure it's right for the purpose?
Oh, yes. It may seem a little unorthodox, I admit.
Unorthodox? That's a laugh.
But Mr. Snatherthwaite, that's part of the attraction. And I might tell you, it was a very high-level decision, this was.
Yeah, well, I'm having a bit of strife with my low-level engine driver, who's going
to
drive the thing.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what, put him on the line. Maybe he'll listen to someone with a bit of authority.
Him? You must be joking. Hang on, I'll call her.
Her? An engine driver?
Hello? Who's that then?
My name is Roland Lennox Brown, madam, and I...
Twittish name, isn't it?
What do you mean, a twittish name, madam? I can assure you that my name is not...
You can't. Now, then, what's this nonsense about this engine, eh?
Well, it's certainly not nonsense, madam. What? It's a top-level government decision.
Well, that's dead typical, isn't it? Only the government would make a twittish decision like that.
Madam, I must protest.
No, you mustn't. I'm the one who's protesting.
Am I supposed to adapt it so it fits on my engine?
That is entirely your responsibility, madam. All I can say to you is that the government has decided that that particular engine must be used, and that's what's going to be used.
Oh, and you know all I can say to you?
No, what?
Rather not say it's not ladylike.
Oh, very well then, madam. I hereby order you to adapt the engine that's been delivered to you.
Right, but I'm not accepting any responsibility.
Ours is not to reason why, madam. Ours is just to do and...
Yeah, and the rest of them will probably die. All right, goodbye to it.
Now, just please, madam, just... Hello? Oh, dear, we seem to have been cut off.
Well, what was all that about, number one?
Woman at Euston Station fussing about using the steam engine. Well, of course, they're used to diesel, of course, so I had to be firm.
Oh, quite right.
Well, I think an early lunch is called for. I can have a little nap this afternoon before we go down to Euston.
I'm sorry I'm late back from lunch, Mr. Lennox, but there was a bit of trouble in the canteen. Mr. Crawley upset that new manageress.
Oh, dear. What happened?
Well, only Mr. Crawley could have put it the way he did. He said he didn't like her what's-his-names.
Oh, glory.
Aye. It turned out he didn't like her dumplings. But that didn't help matters neither.
But what did she have to say, Mildred?
She said she didn't like his sauce. I wonder if I could have the afternoon off, Mr. Lennox Brown. You see, it's my mum's birthday today, and I want to buy her some tights.
Oh, that'll be a surprise for her.
Aye, it will. She's expecting a tea service.
Well, if your work is up to date, Mildred, I think we can stretch a point.
Oh, everything's in hand, sir. They've confirmed that the jet engine has been delivered to Euston.
Good, well...
Jet engine? Delivered to Euston? Mildred, I told you to send that to Houston.
Euston, Houston, what's the difference?
About 4,000 miles, Mildred.
Ooh,
Houston's in Texas, America.
Oh, good grief. They'll use their jet engine on the Darlington train. I wonder they were complaining about adapting it. It's intended for space travel and rocket traffic.
And we'll be the ones who'll be blamed for telling them to use it. What are we going to do?
Do? We're going to get down to Houston and stop them pretty quickly, too. That train's due to leave in 15 minutes.
Well, a very good afternoon to you, listeners, from the program What's On, from Rodney Mellew.
And off about it. Good afternoon, listeners, and good afternoon, Rodney.
Good afternoon, Arthur.
Hello, Rodney.
Shut up.
Shut up, Rodney. Oh. I am a silly bitty, aren't I?
No, no, not really. You're a silly Arthur.
I say that's very good. How did it go again?
Forget it, Arthur.
Thank you, Rodney.
Now, listeners, we are here at one of Britain's most visited attractions, Euston Station.
Euston Station.
Would you like to tell the listeners why we are here, Arthur?
Oh, yes, I'd love to, yes. We are here because,
Come on, Arthur.
Tell them why we are here.
Well, we're here because we're here. Sorry again, Ron.
I'll tell them. We are here to cover the departure of a rather special train from London to Darlington as part of the British Rail celebration.
That's it. He's so right, listener.
And now, while the Prime Minister and other VIPs are boarding the train, let's look at some of the other attractions around, shall
we? Yes, indeed, yes. Look at that one down there. There, in red. Well, almost in red. She's quite something, isn't she?
Certainly is, isn't she?
Yes.
I meant some of the other attractions on exhibition as part of the celebrations, Arthur. There's a great slice of railway history here. For example, over in the buffet, there is a display of 19th century buns and rock cakes. Yeah. What do you think of that, Arthur?
I thought there was a display of those every day.
And in the travel centre, there's a collection of railway art, including several studies of British rail porters.
Those would be in the still life section, of course.
I have beside me one of British Rail's new posters. It urges southern region commuters not to pick the flowers off the hedges while the train is in motion.
I say, Romney.
I know, and I wish you wouldn't, Arthur.
No, it looks as if the Darlington train is ready to leave.
Yes, everyone is safely aboard. The guard has raised his flag. But what's this? There seems to be a bit of a commotion down there.
Huh?
You'd better describe this for our listeners, Arthur.
Yes, two bowler-hatted men are running across the platform shouting.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they vaulted the barrier.
They vaulted it.
And now one's being chased by a railway police.
Oh, my dear.
Oh, dear, they've grabbed him by the buffers. And the other's climbed on the roof of the train and seems to be shouting, the engine.
Yes, he's shouting, the engine.
Engine.
Well, the guard has waved his flag and the train's about to leave.
Yes. My word. It's already left. One could almost say it shot off like a rocket.
And here is the news read by Percival Plum. More dramatic news from British Rail. A special train today covered the 230 miles from London to Darlington in under 4 minutes. This feat was achieved without actually touching the rail. Passengers, however, complained of a lack of comfort, having been drenched in mushroom soup and hurled into the luggage rack. On arriving in Darlington, top civil servant Sir Gregory Pitkin was rushed to hospital, red-eyed and shaking. He was said to be suffering from rail lag. A junior Whitehall executive, Richard Lamb, was later found suspended in a mailbag catcher outside Doncaster. He had a label round his neck reading, Second Class Mail, and said he couldn't think how he got into this mesh.
Gregory. Did you say he had to have an operation, Mr. Lennox Brown?
Yes, Mildred. They're trying to remove a British Rail fish fork from his left nostril.
Oh, then when he gets back, he'll tear us limb from limb. Or in your case, lamb from lamb.
You don't really mean
that. Wouldn't mind. Not necessarily, Mildred. I've spread the idea around that giving that train a jet engine was a government experiment.
Oh, was it?
Of course it wasn't. But I've said that it was a deliberate attempt to speed up intercity services.
Well, it did that all right. Do you think they'll keep the idea, then?
No. They've decided that having British trains move quickly would be too much of a shock to the public.
Oh, so everything's back to normal, is it?
Aye, well, everything except that American chap he rang while you were out. He's a bit worried about that engine we sent him.
Oh, glory. He's got the steam engine.
Yes, the new American space rocket will be going puff, puff, puff all the way to the moon.
But wait, where will they get the coal for the journey back?
Oh,
it's got to be a bit of a...
Getting a rocket as the men from the ministry tonight with John Simpson and Roger Service. Stoking up full heads of steam, Maureen Adair, Tommy Reed, Frank Graham, Tom Mann, and Brian Squires.
Tonight's script was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Brian Squires. Join us again at the same time next week for another romp down the corridors of power with the men from the ministry.